Everyone, welcome to church this evening. It's lovely to see you. Nice to have you here this evening, whether you're here in the church or whether you're at home watching online. You're very welcome. It's good to have you along, and we trust that as we gather together, that we will know the sense of the Lord's presence and His help. As I said this morning, whenever I was brought up in the Presbyterian church, the minister always said, we worship the Lord through our giving and our offering, and also we worship the Lord through the listening of the announcements. So there you go. We're going to worship the Lord as we listen to Billy give the announcements. Thanks, Billy.
Good evening and welcome to our evening service. And this is the second of our harvest services, and we have so much here in Abbots Cross to give God thanks for. And we lift up our hearts in praise this evening. And if you're watching online, we just trust that you feel very much part of our service tonight. We're delighted to have as our singers this evening Alistair and Suzanne Bennett. And I've been listening to them practice or do the sound check, and I do look forward to hearing them properly shortly in our service, and we know the Lord will bless them. Now, as I said this morning, next Saturday night, Sunday morning, the clocks go back. I got a text from a member who said, don't put the clocks back. We want to get through 2020 as soon as we can, not another hour in it. Unfortunately, the clocks go back next week. So then next Sunday, everything is GMT. We have our services at 11 o'clock in the morning and then 5 p.m. in the evening. And the pastor will be speaking at both of those services. We again ask you to book if you want to go to any of the services next week. So please book with Andrew Cuthbert for the church service and in the morning, and then Drew Kirkpatrick for the church service in the evening. These are all the announcements, and of course, they're all made God willing.
Are we booking for the hall? I'm not sure if we are. I think we are booking for the hall, but I'm sure you'll find out when you phone Andrew, and if you want to book for the hall, I think we are trying to do that as well, but that will be well announced to you in the time ahead. Right, we want to just bow together in prayer. Let's pray. Let's seek the Lord before we go any further. Father, we give you thanks for the opportunity of bowing together in your presence. We thank you, Lord, for the purpose for which we have gathered to come to worship the Lord, but come to sing your praises. And we come especially and specifically to thank God for all his provision for us in so very many ways. We rejoice, Lord, in your love, your goodness, and your tender hand upon us. And we pray, Father, that as we gather together, that you will see into our hearts and see hearts of praise and thanksgiving for all that the Lord has done for us. Lord, as we said this morning, there are so many things, so many challenges, and so many issues that require us to pray. And Lord, we just lift them each one up before you collectively, Lord, and pray that God will, by his mighty power, intervene in the circumstances of so many who find themselves in difficult and in challenging circumstances. We pray, dear God, that as we gather together here, Lord, as Alistair and Suzanne come and minister in song, as we listen and we enter into that worship and praise, we ask, Lord, that you will indeed truly give us a heart of praise and thanksgiving for your love and for your goodness. We pray, dear God, that you will meet our every need, and may we truly offer tributes of praise and thanksgiving for all that you have done for us. And so, Lord, we invite you to be part of our number. We make room for God today as we worship you. We trust that as we do so, we will worship in spirit and in truth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, we've got three songs we're going to sing. And, of course, you'll have probably heard the band practicing. The first one is, I Will Enter His Gates with Thanksgiving in My Heart. We'll sing this one through twice, remaining seated, and sing together. And let's make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Thanks, Amy.
Thank you.
Well, we've often, as we've introduced this next song, we're entreating the Lord to come and pour out His blessing. And of course, the blessing comes from the hand of God. We might only be channels, but the blessing truly comes from God. Come, thou fount of every blessing. Tune my heart to sing thy grace. Again, remaining seated, we'll sing together. Thanks. So well, and I trust that not only are you singing from the lips out, but you're singing from your heart of all that the Lord has done. We have so much to thank the Lord for. And this next song, which is very much in the theme of what we're speaking about tonight, give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Yes, let's continue again to remain seated. We'll sing together. I trust that as we do come and we'll hear the challenge and the invitation of the Lord to truly give thanks, with all of our hearts. It is good to have Suzanne and Alistair with us tonight. They go to the Glen Abbey Church, and they are going to come and they're going to minister two songs to us just now. And I trust that you'll be blessed as they come to be a blessing to us this evening. And we trust that we will know, they will know that they're amongst brothers and sisters in the Lord. Thanks very much.
Good evening, everybody. I think this is the first time I've ever had to sanitize in between. So excuse me one moment. Okay. It's lovely to be with you this evening. Thank you very much for the invite. I think this is the longest standing event I've had in my diary. I've been very clearly instructed from, I think, this time last year, Eileen, would that be right? That this evening was happening. So I'm glad that COVID allowed us to continue to meet, and it's lovely to be with you this evening. Thanks for having us.
I wake up to find the power and comfort of God's hand in mine. Season by season, I watch Him amazed in all of the mystery of His perfect ways. All I have need of, His hand will provide. He's always been faithful to me. I can't remember a trial or pain He did not recycle to bring me gain. I can't remember a single regret in serving God only and trusting His hand. All I have need of, His hand will provide. He's always been faithful to me. Loving compassion. has always been faithful. He's always been faithful. He's always been faithful to me.
These words from Psalm 95 feel very appropriate for this evening. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. From the highest of heights to the depths of the sea, creation's revealing your majesty. From the colors of fall to the fragrance of spring,
place the stars in the sky, and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable, awestruck we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim. You are amazing, God. Stole every lightning bolt, where it should go, or seen heavenly storehouses laden with snow. Who imagined the sun and gave source to its light, yet conceals it to bring us the coolness of light. Come, Father, indescribable, uncontainable, you place the stars in the sky and you call them by name. You are amazing, God. Oh, powerful, untamable, awestruck we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim. You are amazing, God.
You are amazing, God.
Indescribable, uncontainable, you place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. Incomparable, unchangeable, you see the depths of my heart and you love me by name. You are amazing, God.
Well, many thanks to Suzanne and Alistair for that ministry and song. Some of my favourite songs. I'm sure you've heard that one, Indescribable, before. I watched the film. It was absolutely fabulous. Thank you for that ministry. We really appreciate it. And we look forward to you ministering to us again just shortly. I was actually waiting for another song. And Eileen, yes, it was a year ago, and I'd forgotten all about it, Suzanne. And Eileen reminded me. But I had no one else booked, and I would said, well, there you go. The Lord had made provision. But nevertheless, it's so good to have you here, and I'm glad that you're able to come here and sing to us. I'm going to get you to turn with me, please, to two passages of Scripture. First of all, Psalm number 100, or if you're of the old school, the old 100th. And it's a fantastic and fascinating psalm. And then I want to just look at it. I'm not going to preach on it, but I want you just, I'm going to read a couple of verses from Luke chapter 17. And it was the healing of the 10 lepers. Can you imagine 10 lepers disfigured and digits missing and all of their facial countenances altered and changed. And 9 of them never even thought to thank the Lord for what he'd done for them. And so our theme today is a thankfulness for what the Lord has done for us. And we'll be looking at that and trying to bring some things out of Psalm 100. When I bring you into the context of Psalm 100, then we're going to try and bring some thoughts to you for that. So that we won't have make the same mistake, and we won't have the same habit of thanklessness, but have a heart full of thankfulness for what the Lord has done for us. And so we're going to read together from Psalm number 100, and then we're going to also look at just a couple of verses. We're going to read them together anyway from Luke chapter 17. And here's how it goes. Psalm number 100, I'm sure many of you could quote it from memory. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations. Then over there, I'm just going to read a few verses from verse 15 of Luke chapter 17. You needn't take time to turn it over, but listen to what it says. And one of them, just one of the 10, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed, where are the 9? You know, the harvest thanksgiving season in this part of the world is one season that has not been commercialized or secularized like other Christian celebrations and festivals. That's probably because we don't have a thankful heart. And that's because we live in a thankless world. If harvest was commercialized, well, what would they commercialize it into? Because we would never think of giving thanks much for anything in our world today. No matter what benefits the world has received, it just never seems to be enough. And the pandemic and the COVID-19 has been one of those examples. No matter what the government has handed out, it's still not enough. It didn't go far enough, didn't last long enough, or didn't extend to enough people. That's what it is. The world tends to pick holes in most things, from benefits, from health services, to education, and the list goes on and on. I stopped listening to the world media because all they want to do is complain and bring us on an attitude of negativity. And all we do is complain about this is not right, that's not right, this didn't happen, that wasn't done, and the list goes on and on and on. In fact, I've stopped listening to the news and started looking to the Lord. Isn't that a good way to do it? Stop listening to the news and start looking to the Lord. So I wouldn't expect the world today to burst into thankfulness, especially for the provision. We've only got some little symbols of the Lord's provision, and we usually have the church donned and decked with far much more. But all you need to do is travel through the fields and travel through the countryside and see how the farmers have been so thankful in that the weather has suited and they've got a lot of crops brought in even at the last minute. I wouldn't expect the world to burst into thankfulness. After all, they don't believe in God and they don't believe he exists. But what about the church? What about us believers? And what about us here in Abbots? Are we a bit negligent and meager in our thanksgiving to the Lord? Or do we mirror the world in our thanklessness? Well, if the world fails to give God thanks, it's because of unbelief. I believe if the church fails to give God thanks, it's because of unfaithfulness. He says, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. How difficult we find it to bow our heads at home in our houses or out in a restaurant and just give God thanks for his provision for our need. In case someone sees us and we get a little bit embarrassed. Well, I say to you, if you have a fear of giving thanks to God, then what have you got to be afraid of? That they would see that you worship the Lord? After all, are we not to be a people who show the world that we love the Lord? How often do you turn to give God thanks? No matter how meager, or no matter how little, or no matter how difficult it has been to see that blessing, how often we neglect to give him thanks. What are the essentials then for genuine thankfulness? So that we will not follow the world in its wickedness in failing to acknowledge and honor the Lord in giving him thanks. Well, there's a little phrase in Psalm 100 that caught my attention. Do you want to hear it? We are the sheep of his pasture. Everything we have, everything that we've enjoyed, everything by way of blessing, everything by way of help and encouragement and inspiration and all of those things that comes along with the gifts of salvation are because we are the sheep of his pasture. And this psalm is a prophetic psalm, by the way. I'm trying not to steal my own thunder because it's part of the content of the message. But this was a series of psalms. Beginning at Psalm number 94 and running through to Psalm 100 to celebrate the Feast of Weeks. Well, what was the Feast of Weeks? It was a time of thanksgiving to the Lord for his many blessings and his provision for his people. But it projects away into the future whenever the King Jesus comes to set up his millennial reign. And the people come, all people that on earth to dwell. Hands up those of you who know the metric version of Psalm 100. We can nearly sing it. All people that on earth do dwell. And you know what? You could recite it. Well, how can we have all people that on earth do dwell if most of the people on earth that do dwell don't believe? So he projects us away into the millennial reign. The middle wall has been broken down between the Jews and the Gentiles. That barrier between God and his people have been broken down through the cross. And those who stand around that millennial reign, that coronation of King Jesus who comes to set up his reign in Jerusalem, who've come from all arts and parts of the world, all people who have had all obstacles broken down and all cultural restrictions removed, because all people out on earth, it is he that has made us, we are his creation. So how do we then, who perhaps are waiting or probably standing on the threshold of what great event that's about to happen. What is it that they have around the millennial reign, around the coronation of the king, that we ought to have because we are his people? First of all, we have to have a generated heart. There's not one individual that will be standing around the millennial reign, the coronation of the king, who won't have had a generated heart where they've been exploded into life by the power of God through his Holy Spirit. It would be impossible to thank the Lord truly for all his mercies if we've never experienced them. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Before I go any further, I know most of your faces, and I know that some of you, most of you have been in church this morning, and here you are again. And if we had another service at 3 o'clock, you've been in there as well. To look at your faces and to know you and having conversed with you, you are the sheep of his pasture. That you have been brought from darkness to light, from bondage to liberty, from death to life, and from that slavery of Satan and sin, and you've been brought into the fold and the family of God, and you're rejoicing for all that the Lord has done for you, aren't you? Well, would you tell your face that? The psalmist reminds his people And I would love to take the 2.5 or 3 hours that it would be required to give you a full exegesis of Psalm 100. We are his people, it is you that has made us, and not we ourselves. The psalmist is reaching back to Abram. Well, who was Abraham? He was a heathen, living in darkness, and God put his hand upon him and constrained him by his great and gracious invitation to come from the Ur of the Chaldees and follow the Lord in obedience by faith. The psalmist could also have been thinking about Moses. Where do we find Moses? Well, we find Moses at the beginning of the children of Israel. And what are they? They're slaves. Pharaoh's minions and pawns. Or what about Elijah? Now they're idolaters. And the psalmist is reaching back and he's thinking of the many times that God has reached into our lives and intervened for us. Times when we were brinking in the verge of extinction and starvation. It is he that has made us, and we are the sheep of his pasture. Now think over your life. Think about the time whenever you were without Christ and walking according to your own way and will and doing your own thing. Think of the many times that God spoke to your heart. Think of the many times you as a believer have been rebellious in your heart. You wanted to do your own thing and go your own way. And God, by his constraining power of the Spirit or the Word of God or some faithful servant of God, spoke to you and drew you back from the wanderings into the world and the worldly things of the world and the wicked things of the world. John Phillips places this psalm prophetically at the coronation of the King of Kings. That middle wall between Jew and Gentile has been broken down. Not only for the church, but now for the Jews in the millennial reign. And it says, come, for there's no more obstacles between us. But whatever about the prophetical view of this psalm, we can certainly say this, that unless the Lord has delivered you and enlightened you and saved you, then your worship and praise to God is merely formal and fashion. And it might be because you like good singing. And it might be because you like good music. And it might be because you like singing the meter of the Psalms. But real worship comes from a heart that has been regenerated by the Spirit of God, and we are motivated by our love for him. Isn't that true? Sometimes I feel we're trying to squeeze life out of lifeless individuals of joy to the Lord. All good gifts around us are sent from heaven above. Then thank the Lord, oh thank the Lord for all his love. It is these that are instructed to come with thanksgiving and praise. Can you imagine? Can you attempt to even switch on your imagination? Bring yourself around that coronation of the King and you think about all that the Lord has done for you, but also the generations preceding that. And what a joy, what an expression of praise for those who have gathered around that the past is behind us. COVID-19's gone. Now we're before the King. And all we want to do is cast our crowns before him and sing that song of the redeemed. Redeemed by precious blood. I want to tell you, a heart that wants to praise God is a heart that, because of the mercies of God, because of the grace of God, because of the purposes of God, who has drawn you to himself and giving you the gift of the Holy Spirit. You know the greatest gift that you got is not that engagement ring, Valerie. Nor you, Rebecca, wherever you're sitting. And the greatest gift wasn't that new car, perhaps, that your father foolishly bought you. No, the greatest gift that you ever got came from your heavenly Father was the gift of salvation and the blessing of the Holy Spirit. A heart that has felt personally something of the extent of his love. A heart that has felt the gracious, loving, guiding, compassionate touch of God. Those who have been brought into the fold and into the family of God. A heart that is enjoying fellowship. Oh, sweet fellowship. And the fatherhood of God. And who are sitting banqueting at his table. Jock Troop said, it is better felt than telt. He meant, of course, you cannot really understand the full measure of who he is, nor can you fully enter into what he has done for you, nor can you fully appreciate his grace unless you have had those blinded eyes opened and you've tasted of that grace. Isn't it wonderful to have tasted of his grace? You know, my dear friends, these provisions, these things that you see are evidence of this barrel full of fruit and vegetables. That's only evidence, and those are only little symbols of the blessings of God to us spiritually. A generated heart. Ephesians 1:16-18 says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Which causes me to ask this one question. Have your eyes been opened? It's not enough to think, and it's not enough to hope, it's not enough to wonder, it's not enough to wish, and it's not enough to second guess. One of the evidences of a life that has known the redeeming hand of God, I say one of the evidences, because there are many others, is that they have a thankful heart for what the Lord has done for us. But rather, we rather pick holes and complain. It didn't happen the way we wanted it to happen. We didn't get what we thought we should get. It reminds me of Naaman in 2 Kings 5. He was told to go to Elisha and to bathe by Elisha to bathe himself in the River Jordan. Ah, he says, are not the rivers of Abana and far, far, far better than Jordan? Well, they might have been when it comes to putting it under a microscope. But this was where God wanted him to go. And here, I love what it says. In 2 Kings 5, verse 11, he says, behold, I thought. And by the time we get to verse 15, he says, now I know. The only heart that can truly give thanks is a heart that is generated, a generated heart. The second thing, and we've been listening to the singing of it, and we've been listening to the singing about it, and we've also sang, give thanks with a grateful heart. Here's what it says in Malachi 3, verses 8 to 10. Will a man rob God? And instantly I know that that's me. You think that that's me trying to get you to reach down at the depths of your pocket and give your money. You should be giving your tithe, and to keep your tithe away from the Lord is to steal from the Lord. And by the way, I don't confine my tithe to 10%. That's only what belongs to the Lord. Your free will offering comes after that. But what about giving your time? What about giving your talent? It doesn't mean to say you have to be perfect in your talent, but you give it to the Lord. What about giving praise and thanks? For you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. And try me now, says the Lord, if I will not open up to you the windows of heaven. I wonder, is our meager life a reflection of our meager giving? In every sense of the word, by which I mean giving. Many things creep into our lives that steal our song. Many things. It might be that well in your spirit, in your soul, that is supposed to express thankfulness has been dried up. There's been too many blockages. There's no outpouring of worship. I want to tell you, the attitude of our hearts is vitally important in our thankfulness to God. It's a terrible thing to let envy, bitterness, jealousy, selfishness, greed, spitefulness, and wait for it, unforgiveness, to block up that fountain of praise in our hearts. Remember I said this morning as I spoke about the tears, I said, we want to press the nuclear button and blow up everything that even looks like a tear. God says, no, leave it alone. Who had done this? An enemy. The enemy's an opportunist, you know. He seeks for advantage, a way into our lives. And I can find, and I'm fairly experienced in the art of marriage. I'm married almost 43 years, and she's still with me. And I know how often the enemy seeks to gain advantage. So many things crowd into our lives. Oh, he said, she said, they did that. And the fountain of blessing that would come from our hearts gets blocked. Come from your pride, your sense of self-accomplishment. Come from your sense of deserving. Come from your sense of deprivation. Come from your sense of injustice. Come from your thankless and heartless attitude. Come from your helpless abandonment, your heartless appreciation, and your indifference, and give him thanks and praise. Come from your idols, your idolatry, your idleness, your indulgences, and indulge yourself in praise to him. Come away from your grief and your grievances, your pride, your presumption and your preoccupation, and lavish on him, a God who deserves the very every element of our hearts and every aspiration of our hearts, give it to him. The God who in his goodness provides for you and has provided for you abundantly. Come from your doom and your gloom and from your disappointments and your independence. Because the God whose goodness extends an invitation into his courts, as we read together and we sang together. It wouldn't have been hard to inspire singing in the It won't be hard to inspire singing in the coronation day as they look back on what the Lord has done for them. But why do we get sidetracked? Because the Lord has done much for us, hasn't he? Aren't your name written down in glory? Isn't your past behind? And isn't your future not orange, but it's bright because it's heading for the Son of Righteousness who will rise with healing in his wings? Think of the restrictions that existed in Moses' day for coming into his praise and into his presence. You had to go through the old sacrificial system, and you came to the outer court, and you came to the altar of sacrifice, and then you came to the laver, and then you came to a curtain, and only certain individuals, priests, could only go into the from the outer court into the inner court, and then the priest couldn't go from the inner court to the Holy of Holies. No, that was for the high priest alone. And think of all that he had to go through, but we're invited into his very courts. Hey? We have invitation to come with one thing on our mind, to give thanks with a grateful heart. Because we are the sheep of his pasture. We're the sheep of his pasture. It says in Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. I want to tell you, I'm living on benefits. His benefits. And boy, they are unfathomable. Insurmountable, and I was going to use that word uncountable, but that's not an English word. Yes, sure, times have been hard. Things have been tough. Maybe people have got in our way. Things could have been a lot better this last 6 months. But don't let the little foxes spoil the vine. Here's what Song of Solomon said, and probably was one of the reasons that he lost out with God. You'll read it in Song of Solomon, chapter 2 and verse 15. Catch us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. What does he mean by that verse, our vines? A vine that produces the oil of praise and worship. Don't let the little foxes spoil your vine. The third thing, and that's me coming to an end. Not wonderful, isn't it? Not near as long as this morning, sure is not. I was going to preach that message this morning, and I don't care if you're all twicking stones and throwing them at me. Here's the third one. This is where it really gets. This is where the rubber meets the road now. How can I give him praise? Yes, with a generated heart. Yes, with a grateful heart. But also with a giving heart. Be thankful, it says in Psalm 100, and bless the Lord. I asked myself as I was preparing for this message, how can I bless the Lord? I am only a sinner saved by grace. What could I possibly do? What could I possibly give? What could I possibly say that would bless the Lord? What has he got that I have? What has he not got that I can give him? The all-knowing, the all-seeing, the everywhere present, almighty, omniscient, omnipresent, immutable God. What can I give him? What can I do to bless the Lord? I need to remember, when it comes to praise and thanksgiving, it's not us that has to be satisfied. Because we think, if I play the music right, and if I get the time right, or if I play the guitar, I'm a left-handed, by the way. If I play the guitar, and God, don't think God's worried about what hand we use. And I don't think he's too worried about whether we're out of tune or not now and again. I think he's more worried, concerned. Because, listen, it'll take more than harmony of tunes and music. It's God that has to be satisfied. Have you ever thought of this? When we sing to our God praises to his name, and, well, you know, the angels are there already singing. They're singing in perfect pitch and perfect harmony. But when we sing, how could that bring blessing to the heart of God? It's not how we sing. It's the fact that we are singing, because we are singing with redeemed hearts. The joy heaven receives from us is not perfect harmony. It's the fact that we're singing with redeemed hearts. Hearts that have been overrun, get that word, overrun by the grace and the mercy of God's salvation. Lives that once did homage to the devil and the ways of the world are now singing praises to our God. And that's where we can enter in, where the angels can't even begin to imagine. There's a song, and I'm sure Suzanne will have sang it. Jesus, what can I give? What can I bring to so faithful a friend, to so loving a king? Savior, what can be said? What can be sung as a praise to your name for the things you have done? However, when we have sung our hearts out and worshipped him for all that he's done, there's yet another element of our thanksgiving and praise and worship to God. And you'll find the answer in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, if you would care to turn with me there to it. You'll find in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 7 and following, the heading on my Bible says that David's song of thanksgiving. And he recounts how they're able to bring the ark back now to the people of God, and the ark resembled the presence of God, and he wants to bless the Lord, but he actually has blessed the Lord before he even began his song of praise. Notice what it says in verses 2 and 3. It says here in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 2 and 3, and when David had finished offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, in other words, when he'd brought these offerings to the Lord, see what he did? He blessed the people in the name of the Lord. Then he distributed to everyone of Israel, both man and woman, everyone a loaf of bread, a piece of meat, and a cake of raisins. Now, that mightn't seem an awful lot to you, but 3.5 million people got to feed. David's gift, now you follow the thinking here. David's gift was a reflection of his appreciation for what the Lord had done for him. He was blessing, He was blessing the Lord, the people, the Lord's people. And in blessing the Lord's people, he was blessing the Lord. You getting this? You want to bless the Lord? Bless the Lord's people. You want to bless the Lord? Then you give. You give to Him. You give your life as service, as worship and praise to the Lord in serving others. You see, it was a reflection. His gift to the people reflected the gifts and the blessings and the things that God had done for him. And what had the Lord done for David? One word answer. Everything. Everything. When he was a wee boy sitting on the side of a mountain, forgotten by his parents, it would seem, because when they came to anoint one of Jesse's sons as king, David was forgotten about. When he's been hunted and hounded by Saul, God was with him. When he was hungry, God fed him. And when he had fallen and sinned with Bathsheba, God forgave him. God had provided for him. God had preserved for him. God had preempted for him. God had protected him. Giving reflected David's heart of appreciation for the Lord. And by blessing the Lord's people, David was blessing the Lord. Do you want to bless the Lord tonight? Return thanks to Him for His mercies? By giving. But let me press that a little further. Mark 8:35 says, whoever desires to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. Remember the old saying in our day, it's more blessed to than to. Do you want to be blessed today? Give. Give what? Give your life to the Lord. Give yourself to Him again, afresh. Oh, but I did that 10 years ago. So what? Do it again today. Give yourself to Him. And here's the crunch. When you give yourself to God, God will use your life to glorify His name. That's what He'll do. Dear beloved, have you a thankful heart? Have you a desire to bless the Lord? Have you a willingness to give to Him? What have you to thank Him for? Everything. Everything. And let me take it to the ultimate conclusion and climax with the ultimate illustration. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, and my all. I see my Savior bleeding on the middle cross. I see Him allowing Himself to be led as a lamb to the slaughter, up towards the hill of Golgotha, up towards Calvary, and allowing Himself, I deliberately use that word, allowing Himself to be nailed to the middle cross, when He could have changed things in a moment. And I say this with every element and every ounce of conviction in my heart. If I had been the only person that had ever existed on planet Earth, He still would have done that for me. And I want to give my life to Him so that I can bless others in the name of the Lord. Will you? Let's bow together in prayer, and we'll have Suzanne and Alistair will prepare themselves to sing again for us, and then we'll have a congregational song. Father, thank You for the challenge we received from Your hand today, for the blessing of knowing that love's so amazing, so divine. Lord, what You've done for us, where You've gone, the lengths to which You've gone. He was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. From before the foundation of the world, Jesus, in full cooperation with God the Father and God the Spirit, gave Himself as a lamb to be slain on our behalf. Our God, we want to bless You tonight. We want to bless You tonight. And yes, we want to sing our hearts out. And yes, we want to give our money. But Lord, we want to give ourselves. And so we pray, as we are challenged by Your word today, grant, Lord, that we may truly, truly experience the blessing of God returning to us, that we might in turn be a blessing to others yet again. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you, Suzanne, and thank you, Alistair.
Thank you.
Creation sings the Father's song. He calls the sun to break the dawn, and from the course of day till evening falls in crimson rays. His finger plants in flakes of snow, his breath upon the spinning globe. He charts the eagle's flight, commands the newborn baby's cry.
Alleluia. Let all creation stand and sing. Alleluia. Fill the earth with songs of worship. Tell the wonders of creation.
Creation gazed upon his face, the ageless one in time's embrace, unveiled the Father's plan of reconciling God and man. A second Adam walked the earth, whose blameless life would break the curse, whose death would set us free to live with him eternally.
Alleluia. Let all creation stand and sing. Alleluia. Fill the earth with songs of worship. Tell the wonders of creation's King.
Creation longs for his return, when Christ shall reign upon the earth. The bitter wars that rage are birth pains of a coming age. When he renews the land and sky, all heaven will sing and earth reply with one resplendent. The glories of our God and King.
Alleluia. Let all creation stand and sing. Alleluia. Fill the earth with songs of worship. Tell the wonders of creation's King. Alleluia. Let all creation stand and sing. Alleluia. Fill the earth with songs of worship. Tell the wonders of creation's song. Fill the earth with songs of worship. Tell the wonders of creation's King.
Amen. Well, if I had sent you a wee note and said, would you please sing that song for me? It'll fit in well with the message. It couldn't have been any closer. Sure couldn't. Thank you so much, Suzanne and Alistair. We're going to sing together, My Heart is Filled with Thankfulness. And so let's remain seated and sing together, please, as we sing our final praise to him. My heart is filled with thankfulness. Is your heart filled with thankfulness this evening? Have you got rid of those old gremlins? All those old blockages that were there? If you haven't, do it tonight. Let's sing together, please.
Thank you.
Amen. Let's just bow together in prayer and let's pray for a wee moment. And then one of the deacons will begin to let you out row by row. Let's bow together in prayer. Let's pray. Can I say that if you do want to speak with me regarding your life and where you are with God, and if there's things that are hindering you from being all that you want to be for God, then don't be afraid to seek us out after the service. We'll make ourselves available for that. And for those of you online, sorry if we've forgotten about you tonight, we don't, but we trust that you've known the blessing of God at home as well. Let's pray. Father, we do pray that you'll part us in your fear with your blessing. We want, Lord, our hearts to be filled with praise and thanksgiving, not selfishness and spite and envy. We want our hearts to be filled with praise for what the Lord has done for us. It matters not what the world has given, because, Lord, time and death will take that away. But, Lord, you give us something that time and death and no one can steal, eternal life through faith in Christ. God, grant that our hearts will be full of praise. Separate us in thy fear with your blessing. Bring us to our homes full of praise and worship for our great God. And we ask, Lord, that as in these days we face very, very negative and difficult days, we will still find place in our hearts to praise him for all that he's done for us. And everybody said, and what did they shout?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.